Welcome to Get Over It, the Intuitive Transformation Podcast for Exceptional 21st Century Living. We have got a very interesting show tonight, different for us. We're going to be talking about bullying. You know, most people in the world have been bullied, and we're hearing a lot about it in, you know, the major news today. So this is going to be an interesting show. If you've been bullied, this is definitely for you. If you're a bullier, this is definitely for you. And I think at the end you will find that it's going to be very important to have compassion for those that are bullied. So we're going to be speaking with Jeannie Sisko-Meth, and we're going to be talking about her book, Bully Proofing You, Improving Confidence and Personal Value from the Inside Out. Now, the information shared on Get Over It uses intuitive and pragmatic insight to help you break through the blocks and release energy that is no longer needed. Yes, we're going to help you release your BS that is holding you back. But the real question is, are you really ready to? And by the way, folks, BS is belief system. Now, a bit about me for my new listeners, intuitive since birth. I'm a third-generation intuitive with over 3 decades of experience helping people break through the blocks along their path. I'm a strategist for personal and professional transformation, revealing information which enables you to become a master builder of your life. I spent 25 successful years in corporate America as an executive sales professional, and I'm the founder of Healing Visions Ministries and the Northern California Children's Education Network, a 501c3 nonprofit. I authored Getting Your M&Ms, the Men and Money book, and Masterful Choices, the Key to Easy, Effective Change. I provide consultations and healings regarding relationships, business, career, money, and love that heal the mind-body-spirit connection, allowing you to live your life to the absolute fullest. Now, my clients tell me that I keep it real while providing them with accurate information to assist them along their journey as a spirit living a human existence. But they also say, if you really don't want to know, don't ask Monique. My background includes a doctorate in metaphysics, Reiki master teacher, ordained minister, clinical hypnotherapist, and so much more. So whether you are stressed, depressed, or possessed, I can help. Find out more about me and the services I offer. Go to my website, MoniqueChapman.com. I invite you to like me on Facebook, follow me on Twitter and LinkedIn. You can also sign up for my opt-in newsletter, Intuitive Living, from my website. Again, that's MoniqueChapman.com. 2-time best-selling author, professional speaker, experienced educator, and parent, Jeannie Sisko-Meth shares her scientifically proven system for improving communication and decreasing conflict. She has written many magazines articles, been quoted in Forbes, and is a paid contributor to The Blaze. She has been a guest on radio stations across the U.S. and locally on KSL, and she has appeared on TV for ABC, Free Speech TV, and many other programs. You can find out more about her by visiting her website, and that is JeannieSiscoMeth.com. I'll spell that for you, JeannieSiscoMeth.com. Welcome, Jeannie.
Thank you so much for having me, Monique. I really appreciate it.
Hey, it's great to have you. And I, you know, the one thing that I liked about reading your book and about you, speaking to you moments before the show, is you're a real down-to-earth type girl, okay? There's no pretense. There's no BS, and I mean bullshit with that one. You're just completely, you know, like down to earth. So thank you so much. Now, you've got a very interesting background. I mean, as a child, you had cancer. What was it? You were 6 feet tall, like in the seventh or eighth grade or something like that. You were dyslexic, as I am. And back then, they didn't have the tools that they had today. So what prompted you to bring all this information and put out a book on bullying? Why is that your life's purpose?
Well, I was sitting in a classroom during a meeting after teaching one day. As you know, we have teachers that get together, and I taught at an alternative high, and it was students that, you know, are in custody, and they make bad decisions, and so it's troubled youth is, the best way to describe it. Uh-huh. And we had a student who had committed suicide, and I said, man, somebody's got to do something. There's got to be a way to reach more people. And a teacher sitting next to me looks at me and goes, yeah, you should probably do something. somebody does need to do something. It could be you. Mm-hmm. And I had developed my Bullyproofing You program and was teaching it at the school, but I had no desire to go beyond my little classroom. And I started getting promptings from other people and definitely from God, my higher mm-hmm. power, and it was time to move. And so I made the leap in 2012 and transitioned from the classroom to the stage, and we are still making history.
Okay, well, I'm glad you made that leap. Now, give us a profile. Who is a bully? What is a bully?
Well, there's two different types of bullies. One is the external bully, and that's the person that says something to you that hurts, or they try to intimidate or control you. That person is hurting themselves. Hurt people hurt people. And so that's the external bully. Then you have the internal bully, the one that lives in your head that tells you you're not good enough, you're too stupid, you can't do that. And so those are the two types of bullies that I talk about and I identify.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so the external bully would be like someone that sits in the White House these days, and then the internal bully is that negative tape that keeps running around in our head?
Yeah, exactly. And to me, that's the one that's the most devastating. Because when somebody says something to you and it negatively impacts you, it's typically because you are already saying it to yourself. And they're validating what you have already said. The problem comes when we allow others to define who we are instead of us defining us. And so I invite people, start believing in yourself. Believe in yourself. Say powerful, uplifting, encouraging things to yourself. Mm-hmm. And listen for other people to validate those instead of the negative ones.
Okay, but what happens when, like, you're 6 years old and everybody's told you all your life that you're stupid, you're ugly, you're worthless, you're whatever, and that's in the household, and then you go to school, and then the teacher's telling you you're dumb, you're not going to pass the grade, you know, I mean, you're just getting negativity from all sides. How do you, as a younger earthling, a younger person, be able to, you know, push that out of your psyche? I mean, won't you believe that? I mean, you're young. All of these adults who are supposed to be the leaders, they're supposed to be right or telling you, you know, you're a piece of crap. So how do you get past that? I mean, it's so ingrained deeply into our psyche.
So the beautiful thing about that is I've done a lot of research on this. And at an age, a person decides, now typically it's an unconscious decision to mm-hmm. decide who to listen to in life. Because I have met people who have been through horrible, horrible things and have an absolutely incredible personal value, belief in self. And I'm like, what? You know, and this question just kept haunting me. What made them different? And it goes back to at a young age, they made the decision to listen to the positive voices in their life instead of the negative. Because I know that it's very easy to listen to the negative. We're human. That's where we're drawn to. However, for every negative that someone is saying to you, no matter where it's coming from, there's a positive out there as well.
Mm-hmm.
There is a positive. The problem is we're not trained to look for it. And so I help people, you know, open their eyes or remove those blinders, you know, unplug their ears to find the positive. Because I know that we have bad teachers. I absolutely know that. I also know that we have incredible teachers.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that, you know, there are kids in school that are getting horrible comments at home and they're getting horrible comments at school. I also know that they're getting good comments. The problem is they're not hearing them and they're not listening to them.
Okay, so I hear you, I agree with you, but it's still difficult, I think, for a young child to shake the negativity. And I'm going back to my elementary school, and I had a very interesting time in school, period. But there was a woman, and actually this story is not about me. There was a woman now, a little girl back then, and the kids didn't like her. She was odd. Okay,
yeah.
And the kids made fun of her all the time. She was a little bit, I don't think off would be the word, but perhaps she was dealing with some type of social disability, okay? Mm-hmm. And even to this day, and this is like decades and decades later, that stigma is still with this woman. And she's reached out to various people, you know, via Facebook or whatever, that she went to school with, and they still have that same thought pattern. So she still feels she's worthy. In fact, not worthy. She had a birthday not too long ago on Facebook. I went on and I wished her happy birthday. I said, happy birthday, beautiful. And she wrote back, well, you couldn't possibly be talking to me. And I was like, wow.
Yeah. That's exactly what I'm talking about. She has all these negative voices in her life that she listens to, but she negates the positive one.
Yeah.
She negates it because of all the negativity that has been in her life and because of what she has chosen to focus on. We all have issues. Oh, my gosh. all have our social phobia. You know, we all have our mistakes, our junk, our ick. But at some point, as a person, even as a young child, you've got to make the decision that I'm valuable. At some point, you've got to stand up and say, hey, excuse me, thank you for sharing your opinion, but that's all it is, your opinion. I believe something else. I believe I'm going to make a difference in this world. I believe that I'm special.
Okay.
I believe in me.
Okay. Interesting. Well, you start out, the first chapter in your book is entitled, I Am Worthy. So, why did you start out there instead of someplace else building up to being worthy?
Because that's where it has to start. Personal value is the foundation. And you notice in my book over and over the little pyramid. And at the bottom of that is personal value. Because first of all, it has to start with a thought in my mind. I have to start thinking the thought that I am worthy, that I am valuable, that I am special, that I'm needed in this time and space. Because I will never get, I won't ever hear the outside validation that I'm worthy until I plant those seeds in my own brain and start listening to myself.
Okay. All right. So in the book, you shared many stories in the book, but the one that really caught my eye was high school and Kyle. Tell us Kyle's story, because I think as people listen to that story, they'll be able to relate it to either someone in their immediate circle or their extended circle and maybe able to reach out and help someone.
Absolutely. Now, Kyle is a story that came to me. It was not my personal experience. It came through another person that I related. And it's about that kid. And I know that you can picture one, the one that you were just talking about, the lady that you were just talking about. There's always a kid at school that is the new kid at school, or the one that's a little bit off or doesn't quite fit in and can typically become a target. And this, and Kyle was definitely a target, and this gentleman saw him and how he was picked on one day and just walked over and said, hey, you know, ignore those guys. They don't know what they're talking about, and helped him pick up his books and find his glasses and get him squared away and said, hey, we're having a get-together this weekend. Why don't you come on over? And a friendship from that bloomed, and many years later he found out that Kyle was going to kill himself that weekend. And it's those moments, those small, insignificant moments that are so significant. They're simple, but absolutely significant. Because I am sure that you have, as well as many of your listeners, have reached out to somebody and just thought, you know, I need to talk to so-and-so today. And they don't know the ramifications of that connection.
Exactly.
They don't, you know, they don't get to hear the story at graduation years later or whatever. But I invite people to talk to one another. It's always, I'm a bit of an out there kind of person. And so when I'm in an elevator, I talk to people. I'm like, hey, how you doing? You know, the mail lady, everybody, I'm like, hey, what's going on? And that's how you connect. The problem is we have become so isolated that we don't talk. And when I'm isolated, my bully has free rein to rain terror down on my head. But when I connect, and I can't tell you how many people, you know, are like, oh, yeah, I know Jeannie. And I'm like, I don't know her. You said hi to me. And they'll start telling this story. And it was in an elevator or it was in the grocery store or whatever, you know. And just because I said something, I had a friend to ask me to drop off some pictures to be developed. This is a few years ago, and I spoke with him a few days later, and he's like, "What did you do?" And I said, "I just dropped off the picture." And he said, "I've been going into that same shop to the same people for over 10 years, and they never remember me. You go in one time, one time, and they remember you. What did you do?" And I said, I said, "Hi."
Yeah, you spoke up, you know.
I just said, "Hi." I just engaged people. So The next time you find yourself wanting to shrink back, the next time you're thinking, "Oh, what do I have to give? Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. You have so much to give." And it starts with a smile and a hi.
Yes, it does. You know, it's interesting. In the early 90s, I was in corporate America working, and I was actually working local at that time, and so I would, you know, make my commute 30 miles up the road and park and everything, and you know, you go in and there's the doorman and he's opening the door, and he's this like itty bitty little black guy, okay, not necessarily attractive, but nice, and every day that he opened the door, which is every day that he was at work, for everybody, every woman, he would say, "Good morning, beautiful lady," and you know,
I love that.
Some mornings I really needed that, not expecting it every morning. I mean, in retrospect, I think back, I'm like, okay, he did this on a daily basis, and he did it for everybody. But he was putting out such positive energy, and I truly hope that he's had a good life, because he was putting out so much positivity and giving to other people, in the sense of giving a sense of self-worth to other people. And I truly, you know, I don't know him, so I don't know if that came back to him. But he also taught me to be a bit like you. I can go any place, and if I'm standing in line, I'm starting a conversation. Okay, and sometimes people look at me like I'm nuts, and they turn the other way, and I'm like, okay, well, screw you, and I turn around to the next one. I'm not stopping, but it's important that we reach, you know, we reach out, that we make connections with people, because you never know what that other person is going through, and you don't know how even just a smile, making eye contact, and saying hello will help someone through something horrible that they're going through. Folks, we're speaking with Jeannie Sisko-Metz. She's the author of Bullyproofing You, Improving Confidence and Personal Value from the Inside Out. You can check her out at her website, and that's JeannieSiskoMeth.com. I'll spell that JeannieSiskoMeth.com. And the book's available everywhere. I know it's on Amazon. Is it everywhere, Jeannie?
Yeah, it's on Amazon. It's also at Barnes & Noble. I would also love to make a free gift offer to your listeners, if that's okay.
Oh, please do. We like free.
They can. I love free and on sale. I think that was the first thing my daughter said. My mom loves free and on sale. But I have the ability, if you text the letters BPY for Bullyproofing You to the number 55678, it will give you a link to download a digital copy of my book free, as my way of saying thank you, thank you, thank you so much for helping me share this powerful message with your listeners.
Okay, so you're going to text to BPY 55678?
Yeah, BPY to 55678. BPY for Bullyproofing You.
Okay, well, cool. Thank you so much. Really appreciate that. And you also share a story in your book in the D.C. Metro. One of my kids went to grad school in the D.C. area, and I learned the metro. I went all over the place in the metro, and that was great. But you were saying how this man just started playing the violin, and he played for 45 minutes, absolutely stunning performance, and how some people, you know, listened for a minute, other people ignored, and he made $32 at the end of his 45 minutes in his
case. Yeah, something like that. Yeah, not much.
Yeah. So tell the audience who that was and why that story was so important to share.
His name was Jonathan, and I'm sorry, the last name left my mind.
Bell.
Yes. And he was an absolutely incredible, well, still is, an absolutely incredible musician, and had just performed at Carnegie Hall the night before, and had made, I think, tickets sold for like $300 a piece or something like that. Mm-hmm. And then here he is performing. But the point of that story was, you have no idea you know, everybody has greatness within them. And if we don't take a moment and notice it, it's gone.
Uh-huh.
It's gone. Uh-huh. And so, you know, and it, in that story, it talks about how all the kids had to be drugged by their parents, right? Because uh-huh. the kids were so engrossed by it. Kids can recognize greatness. They can feel it. They're in tune with it. But we as adults have trained it out of us because we get so caught up in the day-to-day living, so caught up in where we got to go, what we got to do, you know, and who we want to be and this next thing we need to acquire, that we forget to just sit and be in mm-hmm. our greatness mm-hmm. with other people's greatness.
Yeah. Well, it's amazing the kids get it, you know. They haven't been completely turned off to tapping into their intuition and paying attention and being aware. And they get it, and we just don't listen to the babies anymore, you know.
Yeah.
It's really yeah. sad. It's sad. It's quite sad that we don't do that. Okay, so question for you, and this is kind of a personal story. It's family related, and hopefully my sister doesn't mind. But if she does, well, I said it. She has a son, and when he was in school, he was being bullied horribly by one particular person, and she was trying to make this guy be his friend, so she would invite him over and do elaborate things with him, and this guy is bullying her son in her house, but she didn't want to see it. And it came to a point where her husband at the time actually stood between her and her son and said, "I am not letting this particular young man in the house because he's nothing but negative energy. He's hurting your son." And it was like a little standoff, and she wouldn't like buy into it. Now, 15 years later, she's like, "Oh my God, he was bullied and I didn't want to see it." So why is it that sometimes yeah. parents just don't want to see what's going on right under their nose?
Well, many times parents, you know, we do the best we can.
Yeah, of course.
I'm a parent as well.
They don't come with a book.
And, right. Oh, my gosh. Trust me, I looked.
Me too. I'm still looking.
I know. And we want to believe the best in people. If we're a positive, encouraging person, we want to believe the best in other people. Mm-hmm. And eventually she may have been able to change that young man that was bullying her son. However, you don't have that much time with a child. It's so quick. And so I use a one-liner with my children. I used it with my students. I've used it for years and years. And it comes from Jim Fay and Foster Klein at Love and Logic. And that one-liner is, "Aren't you glad I don't believe that?" Mm. And so when your child comes in and says, "Mom, Sally called me," whatever, or "Little Timmy said..." Then you turn to your child and you put a smile on your face and you say, "Ah, aren't you glad I don't believe that?" And then you turn around and you walk away.
Mm-hmm.
Because the initial response when your child comes in or a student comes in and says, "So-and-so said such and such," the initial response is to immediately launch into this huge monologue about why they're smart or beautiful or intelligent or incredible. But in the back of the mind, in the subconscious part of the mind, the child or student is saying, "Wow, I must be really stupid. My mom mm-hmm. or my teacher just spent 5 minutes telling me I'm not."
Mm-hmm.
But when you say that incredible line, "Aren't you glad I don't believe that?" the child goes into choice mode. "Oh, wait, you mean I have a choice about what I believe and what I don't?
Uh-huh.
You mean that I get to decide who sticks a label on me, not someone else?" And then it empowers them to take responsibility for their choices and their decisions of who sticks a label on them and what label they accept.
Okay, and I fully agree with the concept of choice. I'm truly a choice girl, so to speak. However, why is it so important to love yourself first? Because to me, if you don't love, or is it? Because to me, if you don't love yourself first, then you don't necessarily make good choices for yourself. Not that every choice you make is going to be perfect. I mean, we're here to learn lessons. But right. And boy, do I have some interesting ones. You know, keeping it real. But
yeah,
how,
exactly.
How important is it to truly love ourselves, and how do we love ourselves so that we are in a position that we can make more positive choices than negative for ourselves?
The reason you need to love yourself is so that you can hear when someone else says, I love you. For a long time, my husband would say, I love you, and I wouldn't hear it. And in my new book, Taming the Bully Between Your Ears, I share a story called My Wish. Mm-hmm. And I'm having a really, really bad day, and I'm just beating myself up horribly. And my husband comes and takes my hands and says, my wish for you is for you to see you through my eyes. Because we don't see the same person. Mm-hmm. I wish you could see you through my eyes. Mm-hmm. And I never, up until that moment, my husband would say, I love you. And in my mind, I would negate it by saying, yeah, but if you only knew, right? We always have those little, if you only knew, right?
Yeah.
But when I start loving me, yuck and all, you know, cellulite and all, when I start bad hair day, whatever,
mm-hmm.
when I start loving me, I can accept it from others. And then I can love them right back.
Okay. Okay. Can we use the energy of pleasure or the energy of pain as a motivator to propel ourselves forward to get out of a situation maybe where we're being bullied, to be able to at least speak up, speak back?
Absolutely. So in my book, in the last part of my book, I talk specifically about how to practice speaking up, how to practice going through these scenarios. Because any time we start to get out of our comfort zone, you know, mm-hmm. when that stress or that emotion is high, our intelligence is low. And so we don't typically make very good decisions when we're in an emotional state. And so the book talks people through how to get in an emotional state and still be able to think. Pain will help you stop a behavior quickly. However, pleasure will sustain that activity for a long time. And so I talk to my mentoring clients. I do personal mentoring with clients. And mm-hmm. I always talk about the carrot and the stick. I wrote a blog about it a while back. But the carrot and the stick is all about what reward do you get when you do such and such of activity? And what punishment or the stick do you get if you don't do it? I talk about how I always need my carrot out in front of me, and then sometimes I got to whack myself with the stick. And so pain can be an instantaneous motivator. And an example of that is my husband and I will have been married 16 years this month.
Congratulations.
Really excited. Thank you very much. And just absolutely phenomenal, phenomenal relationship. But when we were dating, I was a smoker. Sorry to say it, but yes, I was. And I knew it was horrible for me because I had already had cancer as a kid. And mm-hmm. and the reason I decided smoking was absolutely stupid. And I was showing someone else something, and it was just dumb. I was killing myself to prove a point, right? Mm-hmm. I know. But I decided I've got to quit smoking now. I have to. I had, and my carrot was, my husband then, my boyfriend, lived about an hour and a half away. We never knew when our schedules would get together.
Mm-hmm.
And so I made the decision that as long as I went without a cigarette, I could see and talk to him at any time. But if I had a cigarette, I had to stay away from him for 24 hours. That was my stick. So he was my carrot and my stick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I talked to him on the phone. I'd gotten off of work. I was a teacher at the time. I'd gotten off of work, and he told me, babe, there's just no way we can get together. My work schedule is just horrendous. There's just no way. And I'm like, okay, I understand. And I hung up the phone, and I'm like, there's no way. So I pull out a cigarette, mm-hmm. and I light it, and all I do is touch it to my lips. I hadn't even taken a drag.
Mm-hmm.
And the phone rang, and it was Lawrence. And he's like, babe, guess what? The most incredible miracle happened. My schedule is cleared up. I can come see you. Moment of truth, right? Mm-hmm. Moment of truth. I have goosebumps. And so I told him, oh my gosh, talk about a huge smack of a stick, right? Mm-hmm. And I said, I am so sorry, but I cannot see you. And I told him why, and he said, you're absolutely right, and hung up on me.
Oh, wow.
Hung up on me and did not contact me for 24 hours. And I am proud to say that from that day forward, I have never touched another cigarette.
That's fabulous. But what's even more important, I think, is that he honored you by honoring your space.
Yep, absolutely.
You know, he didn't force his way with, I got to see you or whatever. He honored your process. And that speaks volumes. I mean, hopefully you're going to keep him, girl, because he's a keeper.
Oh, absolutely. Yep.
Wow, he's definitely a keeper. Okay, so I want to switch gears for a moment and talk about the F word, and that's fear. How do we overcome the fear? Because, you know, if we're being bullied, we're fearful. If you're a bullier, to me, you're fearful within yourself. So how do we get past that fear?
Perfect question and a great question, because without fear, there is no courage. And so we have to build our courage muscle. And the last part of the book really goes into that, how to build that courage muscle. To build the courage muscle, you must do things that you're afraid of. Now, not things that will kill you, things that you're afraid of. Mm-hmm. And so I'm afraid of water. I almost drowned when I was younger. So I swam every day for a year, and then I went and got scuba certified. I'm afraid of heights, so I learned how to rock climb and rappel. I was in air assault in the military, you know, so things like that. Things that scare me, you do them. Mm-hmm. The other thing is I don't like snakes, and there's still fear there, but I am forcing myself to look at pictures, when they're in the movies, I open my eyes, and then I close them, and then I'm and so exercise that courage muscle. Do things that scare you but will not kill you, because you need fear. Fear can save your life.
Mm-hmm.
And it's there to help us survive, but it also holds us back from growth. And so if you take a moment and identify these things I'm afraid of because they will kill me, these things I'm afraid of but they will grow me, and then have a little mantra, this will grow me, I'm going to get better, I'm going to get stronger, I'm going to bust through this comfort zone and blow it wide open so I can accept and receive more opportunities into my life.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You talked earlier about the choice word, and I think that choice is very important because I truly believe we all have a choice. We have a choice how to react to something that has happened to us. We have a choice with the information and the energy that we're putting out to the world. Could you speak to us a little bit more about choice and why it's so important that we are in control of, I guess, our mindsets and our actions?
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. So I wake up in the morning, and I make a choice about how my day's going to go. And I say to myself, thank you, Lord, for another day to become the person you see in me. And then I immediately go through some things that I'm grateful for, you know, my house, my husband, my kids, my health. I mean, I could go on and on about all my gratitude things.
Mm-hmm.
And those early morning choices set my day up to be incredible and fabulous. I know that during the day, I may still stub my toe. I may still get cut off on the freeway.
Mm-hmm.
You know, things still happen. And that choice happens all throughout the day. You know, I was a driver's ed teacher.
Oh, goodness.
So you can imagine what I saw on the road, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's, It is frightening. I had a stop. I had a brake, but I did not have my own steering wheel, so it was still scary.
Mm-hmm.
But it's that constant choice throughout the day, and many times it's the little choices that impact us the most, not the big ones. Because the big ones, we take time, we get, you know, we talk to our friends, our family, people, you know, help me make this decision. But it's the little day-to-day choices that have the biggest impact on us. When I get in line at Smith's, I look for the teller that looks sad or unhappy or is grumpy. And I get in her or his line and I just start sending powerful love vibes. Mm-hmm. Powerful love vibes. Mm-hmm. And by the time I get up there, my goal is to help them smile. If not to smile, to at least impact them in a positive way. And when I'm helping others, I feel better.
Mm-hmm. Well, you feel better, and plus you're giving them a healing.
Yeah.
Whether they know it or not.
Exactly. And some of them are like, oh my gosh, thank you so much. It's so great to interact with you. Ah, this is so amazing. You know, and you can see their energy shift. And some mm-hmm. of them want to run away from me. Right? Because like attracts like, and all of a sudden here's this very negative, low vibration being impacted by this high, powerful, I love you vibration, and it is uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. That's why I tell people, get outside your comfort zone.
Comfort zone, yeah.
So that when, yeah, because I want that high energy around me so that I'm more and more comfortable with it. If I get up every morning and I choose to say I'm worthy, I'm glorious, I'm divine, I'm a goddess, I'm beautiful, those are uncomfortable statements. Still, mm-hmm. for me, those are uncomfortable statements. But as I continue to say them, I grow closer to them, and they grow me, and they lead me, and they empower me, and those people that come into my circle, because that's the energy I give off.
Okay. In your book, you talk about being able to create a pattern interrupt with your questions, and I guess this would be regarding, you know, anything in life that you needed to question. Why is it important to create that pattern? I mean, why do you need to disrupt the energy?
Because you want to stop that flow. Whether uh-huh. it's a voice inside my head or a voice outside of me, I want it to stop. And so when I have negative thoughts come into my head, I catch them and I say, whoa, stop. And then I refocus on what I want. What I want is, or what I choose is, or what I envision is. Uh-huh. If it's an outside voice, you know, if it's that external bully, a question stops people because we are groomed from a very young age to answer questions.
Yeah.
And so if I ask you a question, it causes you to think. People who are bullying and who are lashing out are in pain and they are in reaction mode, not think mode. But you can't ask them the question, why are you doing this? Because that continues. It has to be a question that interrupts them, that makes them think, because otherwise they'll just continue what they're doing. But mm-hmm. if you interrupt it with a question such as, hey, what's your favorite color? Or, hey, where's your next class? Or, you know, hey, do you like coffee ice cream or whatever? That causes people to think.
Mm-hmm.
There's an activity that we do in my events where for a minute and a half, people pair up, and for a minute and a half, all you can do is ask the other person questions, and that other person tries not to respond. And oh my gosh, it's absolutely hilarious. Mm-hmm. Because I will see people, they won't make eye contact, they'll turn all the way around in their seat, they'll cover their ears, they'll cover their mouth, because we are groomed to answer questions.
Mm-hmm.
And so that will allow you, the person who is being attacked, to save face, and it will stop the bullying incident. Plus, it allows the other person to save face and heal.
Okay.
To me, I feel like there is this push to attack bullies. Please don't attack bullies. They are hurting people. Mm-hmm. They have a right to love, light, and liberty too, just like all of us do. And so if you can allow them to be okay and walk away unscathed, both of you walk mm-hmm. away unscathed, that leaves this world a better place.
Okay. Well, talking about the world, I mean, well, let's, you know, get right to it. You know, the man that sits in the White House, he's a huge bully, both in size and otherwise. And he's, in a sense, leading us. And the energy that he's putting out is so discordant. How do you get past that type of bullying? I mean, his wife has come out with a program of, you know, don't bully or whatever, but I don't see that's really gotten a lot of traction. So how do you come out with and protect yourself from that level of bullying? I was watching the news actually this morning, and an ABC correspondent asked him a question, and she was looking around behind her for a mic so that she could be heard. And he, number one, said she was confused, and then number two, that she doesn't think. And she's a very well-educated woman. So how do you get past, like, watching that? Well, you know, you watch it or not, but you see that, and then it's like, oh, my God. If he's doing it, it must be okay.
So we learn by modeling. And so my belief is I model the best possible behavior I can. And when I make a mistake, I ask for forgiveness. And I do not watch other people bully others. And so I don't watch those things. And I stay away from them. And when somebody bullies me, I remind myself that I am valuable, that I am important, that I am needed, and I have a voice.
Uh-huh.
And I thank them for their opinion, and then I say what I know I need to say.
Okay.
And so I don't know, that's how I handle it.
Uh-huh.
And luckily, it's done very well for me so far.
Oh, good. And I guess if, you know, someone's watching that, they can draw the conclusion that, yes, you know, the situation that, you know, he said is true, or no, I don't agree with that, and I choose, again, coming back to
right.
that word choice, I choose
right.
not to play within that energy field.
Right. And I don't know how she responded to it. I have no idea. I did not see that. All I can do is say how I would have responded or how I would hope I would respond. And that would be, thank you for your opinion. I appreciate that. What I was doing was looking for a mic so I could ask you this very, very important question, and here it is.
Yeah, well, she didn't do that. I think she handled it classically. She just said, excuse me? And then he just went on to, oh, ask your question. And then he asked her a question, and then he wouldn't answer her question. So, I mean, it was a game being played there, but it was just.
Yeah. And there's very powerful games that go on in the sandbox,
mm-hmm.
in middle school, high school, business, families, life, every single day. And if I can remember that I am valuable, that I'm just as valuable as the person sitting across from me, then we can play together better. We do an activity in my events where if you will not say it to yourself,
mm-hmm.
I mean, if you will not say it to someone else, why in the world are you saying it to yourself? Why are you saying this to yourself?
That's powerful.
Because
yeah.
love thy neighbor as thyself ends with love yourself too.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm calling myself a name, ask yourself the question, would I call someone else this? No, then knock it off. Never call yourself that name again.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And that's fair. And that's, you know, like small steps to getting to the point where you're not taking on other people's energy. You're just living, you know, within your own BS, and that's belief system. Okay.
Right,
so,
yeah.
What advice do you have for parents today who may be going through a situation where their kid's being bullied in school, they talk to the school and all of that, and nothing has really, you know, come of it? What advice would you have?
So first of all, back to that one-liner, aren't you glad I don't believe that? Bullying starts with verbal communication. Now, if it has escalated to physical altercations, that is assault, and it needs to be handled by the police, not the
mm-hmm.
school. And so schools, I have a program that I take into schools, so if anybody listening has mm-hmm. connections to a school that they want me to come into, that helps phenomenally, because me calling the school and saying, hey, you need my program, they're just like, yeah, whatever. But when a parent or somebody says, hey, I heard Jeannie, or I saw Jeannie, or I read her book, we need her here, that
mm-hmm.
helps me tremendously. But schools, their hands, to a degree, are tied, because you have one family saying one thing and another family saying something else. And so when I go into a school, I empower people to believe in themselves. mm-hmm. so that they don't bully. And I have tons and tons of letters from schools and parents all over about how my program is so different. Typically when a bullying program goes into a school, they try to tell people what they can and can't say. Mm-hmm. And they try to stop that. And they show videos of people being bullied, and then they teach martial arts and all this other stuff. No, 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 no. That does not work, because we learn by modeling. And so if we see videos of people being bullied, typically in schools, that increases bullying incidences by 25 to 30% when they have those types of bullying and, you know, mm-hmm. presentations. And so mine's totally different. And so if your child is being bullied and you're having a difficulty, first of all, please buy my book. Second of all, send me an email and I will give you the workbook for free, another gift, or go download the book. Let me know you downloaded it. I'll send you the workbook for free. Mm-hmm. Start building value in yourself and your child, because you will never be able to be with your child 24/7. At some point, they have to step up and say, I am valuable, I am important, and you do not decide who I am. I decide.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
That's how you bully-proof your kid.
Okay, strong conviction there. And what about the same scenario, but it's the office?
It's when it's the office, there are a lot of different things, because first of all, you can't right now, you know, you can go find another job, or you can start looking somewhere else. You can also ask that person, hey, try to get to know them a little bit. And I know that's what the mother in the story before was doing. However, it was her child that was being bullied, not her. But if mm-hmm. I'm in a work situation, and I'm looking back to when I was in the workplace, and there are people who don't like me, and I understand that, and that's okay. And we can still work together. We can still mm-hmm. communicate and be okay. But it starts with me understanding them and where they're coming from, and not being triggered by the barbs that they throw at me. And so if I can remember that hurt people, mm-hmm. and I can look for how to help them heal their pain, then I can heal that at the workplace as well. And so it kind of depends on the workplace. You can either leave it, or you can try to make it better and try to help the people that you're working at. And so it kind of depends on the situation. Did that answer your question?
Oh, yeah, it definitely did. It definitely answered my question. Okay, so we go to your website, jeanniesiskelmeth.com. What are we going to find there?
You're going to find some videos on me, on some radio and TV interviews. You're going to find some information more about me. You're going to find some of the programs that I offer to workplaces and schools. And some, you're going to find my blog there. And you're going to find a bunch of very valuable information. Mm-hmm. Or you can also go to bullyproofingyou.com. That has a lot more information about the book. There's some audio downloads on there of me reading one or two of the chapters. Just tons of information. I want to help people. I want to help people.
Okay. And would you please put out your special free offer to our audience again?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So text BPY, the initials of Bullyproofing You, to the number 55678. And it will ask for your email information, and I think it asks for your name. I don't remember, but then it's going to send you a link to download a digital copy of my book. And then if you will send me an email, that's jeannie@jeanniesiskelmeth.com. It's computers and drugs. It's the easiest way to remember it.
Okay.
So send me an email, and then I'm going to send you the digital. And just let me know, hey, I heard you on Monica's radio. It was so awesome. It was so juicy. We absolutely loved it. I'd love to get the workbook, and I'm going to send that out to you for free.
Okay. And, you know, people, it's important to do the work. So, you know, get the workbook.
Yes.
Because, you know, just reading something or hearing something is one thing. And, yes, you get information. Yes, it does go into your psyche, and you can choose what you want to do with it. But when you actually make the commitment to sit down and work on yourself, and truly it's work, but to, you know, make a difference, make a change within yourself, it changes your life in ways that you never would have thought possible. So, Jeannie, our time is almost up, and I am so grateful for having you on today and for the information that you shared. What pearl of wisdom would you like to leave with our audience tonight?
Love yourself. Believe in yourself and make a difference in the world, because you are needed in this time and space. That's why you're living in this time and space. And you have valuable gifts and talents that only you have. And if you don't step forward and use those gifts, if you bury them, they're lost. This world is made up of a fabric that is weaved together with all of our lives. And if you don't live your life to the fullest, you leave a hole that will never, ever be filled by someone else. And so please, 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 I invite you to step into who you are, because you are beautiful. You are gorgeous. You are handsome. You are incredible. You have unique skills that are needed in this time and place. Please use them.
Thank you. That resonated with me, and I think it resonated with all of the listeners, too. Jeannie, I want to thank you for being with me today, and the audience, I want to thank you for joining us as we collectively get over it and address the situation of bullying. I'm truly honored, and I do appreciate your time and attention. And when you're ready to live a more balanced life, give me a call. Intuitive consultations that are 30 minutes or longer are offered at a 10% discount if you mention the podcast. Love yourself enough to make an investment in yourself and make that call. 888-240-6057. And remember, the most important choice that you can make is what you choose to make important. Consider making the masterful choice of love. Abundant blessings, light, and love to all. Namaste.